This episode of Tidbits Pod was brought to you by a massive bag. Let's get into it. All right, chums, May the 26th be with you. This is Jack Tidball here, and you are listening to Tidbits Pod. It's fucking early in the morning. I've just been working, and now I'm having a post-work little walk. And I was hoping that because it's fucking late, I was hoping that this would be nice and peaceful, but instead, you might hear the odd bike and stuff go by. It's still buzzing in the heart here of Taichung. And where to begin? So thanks for reaching out since the last one about my dentist shenanigans, and people asking why didn't you stop that guy sooner? And you know, first, as I said, I trust the experts. But secondly, and I think this one's ultimately the problem, I don't want to be the one that causes a fuss sort of thing. So I think, you know, it's because somewhere deep down, I actually wanted to impress the dentist. I wanted him to say to his assistant after, like, oh, holy shit, that guy went through the whole procedure and didn't even ask for painkillers sort of thing. I wanted him to think I'm an hard nut, which is pretty sad, isn't it? But anyway, I mean, as if a dentist is going to give you the badge of honour or whatever. And and like I said as well, like the big reason I thought that was just normal procedure. So, for those that didn't listen to the last couple, I've recently had a root canal, and I'm in the process of that root canal happening still. And most of that was done without painkillers. And even though it turns out they were readily available to me, I could have just asked the guy for them. But, I've got to go back one more time soon in the middle of June. Why do I keep telling you about dentist visits? You know, like, welcome to Toothbits Pod. This episode's about tongue scraping. Does it enhance your sense of taste? Blah, blah, blah. Actually, that might be quite good. You know, the Instagram could be toothpicks. There you go. That's a proper joke. Or, well, toothpicks, that could be some sort of, you know, tooth-related choice memories podcast sort of thing. Who remembers Ribena Tooth Kind? I'm snotty. Sorry, that's disgusting. But I'm not going to spit. Oh, grib. Okay, I'll talk through it and see what happens. But, Ribena Tooth Kind. That was a bit of a scandal in the day, wasn't it? So, hold on one second. Yeah, okay, so Ribena Tooth Kind was permanently discontinued and withdrawn from the market in 2005. Yes, I'm an old bastard. And the withdrawal was a direct consequence of public backlash, diddly D, lasting impact on the industry. The Tooth Kind scandal, fucking hell, okay. It permanently changed how food and drinks are marketed in the UK and Europe. For those outside of the UK and Europe, Ribena Tooth Kind was sold that it was good for your teeth, but it was actually just not as bad as other drinks sort of thing. But it established a strict legal precedent that a manufacturer cannot claim that a product is safe or healthy simply because it has been re-engineered to be less destructive than a standard other option. So the British Dental Association, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so pretty crazy. And that goes to show, never trust adverts. They will always just spin it to say the one good thing about it. And then, yeah, they won't mention all the things. Like if you're in the US and you ever watch one of their medical adverts, fucking terrifying. But yeah, do you remember back, this was back in series one, back in the UK days. And I remember there was one where there was a bit of chat about when Blu-ray came out and they made trailers that were about like how good Blu-ray's quality is. But then the trailers that were showing you that quality, they were on DVDs. So on your DVD, it was like, whoa, look at this. Look how good this is. You should buy a Blu-ray player. Buy their Blu-ray player. But I remember thinking, so if the DVD is a good enough quality to show me this Blu-ray quality, then why not just make DVDs better, sort of thing. Do you remember that one? You know, I'm a... fucking hell, I'm a boring bastard. But, and, well, it's probably to do with storage, isn't it, thinking about it? So the DVD doesn't have the space maybe to hold that quality for a whole film. I mean, that's it, isn't it? It can probably just show you a little burst and then you have to buy the Blu-ray to get it throughout. So, yeah, we live, we learn, we're leaving it in. But, oh, Icarus! I probably flew too close to the sun. And, yeah, that's what we can talk about today, actually. Do you know that story, Icarus? The little dickhead that flew too close to the sun. And yeah, I was thinking about it the other day and it's wrong, isn't it? So, well, actually, yeah, before I ruin it for you, let's get the story up so we're all on the same page. I'll tell you the story and then with the wonders of modern science, we'll talk you through why it's bullshit. So, no one else is doing podcasts like this, guys. Stay with me. So, hello there. Me again. Sorry to bother you. Can you please... This is me. I'm dictating as I type. Please tell me the story of Icarus with the wax wings, etc. Many thanks. Okay, here we go. Oh, I like this. Hello again. You're not bothering me at all. Happy face with the little blushing cheeks. I'm happy to tell it. You're a computer program. Why do you have the blush? Anyway, so the story of Icarus and his father, Daedalus. So. Anyway, it comes from the Greek mythology and is one of the most famous myths about ambition and the dangers of ignoring good advice. So yeah, the story of Icarus. Daedalus was a brilliant inventor and craftsman. He lived on the island of Crete where he had been forced to work for the powerful king Minos. After some time, King Minos would not allow Daedalus and his young son Icarus to leave the island. All right, yeah, I always imagined it was like this kid had just got above his station, but they're functional. They're just trying to leave, you know, toil and torment or whatever. They're escaping this island. So anyway, yeah, since the king controlled all the ships, Daedalus came up with a daring plan. They would escape by flying. Fair enough. So he carefully built two pairs of wings using feathers held together with wax. One pair was for himself and the other was for Icarus. And before they took flight, Daedalus warned his son very seriously Do not fly too low, or the damp sea air will weigh down your wings. Do not fly too high, or the heat of the sun will melt the wax. You hear that fucking wolf? No, okay, I'm going mental. Late night terrors over here. Or is that actually a cockerel? A rooster? Fucking hell, okay, I've walked too far here. But anyway, so with the wings strapped to their arms, they leapt into the air and began flying over the sea. At first, Icarus followed his father closely, but soon he became excited by the feeling of flying, and the higher he went, the freer he felt. Forgetting his father's warning, he flew higher and higher towards the sun. The sun's heat melted the wax that held the feathers together. One by one, the feathers drifted away. Suddenly, Icarus could no longer stay in the air, and he fell down into the sea below, which later became known as the Icarian Sea. Daedalus survived, but he was heartbroken over the loss of his son. That's a lot sadder than I remember. I thought he just flew too high and the wings broke. That was the story. And it was like fucking stay in your lane sort of thing. Oh yeah, no, it says it here. So the lesson of the myth, the story of Icarus is often used as a warning about overconfidence, ignoring wise advice. Like, don't sit in a field with fucking mysterious farm animals on the horizon. I'm in the middle of a city here, by the way, guys, for context. It's quite... Okay, no. Anyway. So, yeah, don't ignore wise advice and be careful of the danger of letting excitement or pride push us too far. So people sometimes say someone has flown too close to the sun when ambition has led them into trouble. So that's the story, and that message was probably written by that fucking horrible king, wasn't it? Like, yeah, don't try and fly away again or your son is going to drown. So, you know, the stories are written by the winners, aren't they? So the king gets to tell everyone else to, yeah, stay here and work the fields, lads, sort of thing. But yeah, anyway, I went for that little preamble because the big problem with this story, it doesn't get hotter as you go higher. It gets colder, doesn't it? So, yeah, I've got the internet here. Let's fucking do a little deep dive. And, I don't know, why not? Something to chat about. So, blah, blah. Yeah, so here it says, it seems like it should get warmer as you go closer to the sun, but the atmosphere works differently. The key reason it gets colder with altitude is how the air is heated. So number one, this is all from our internet research facility, by the way. So the Earth heats the sun from below. So number one, why it doesn't get hotter as you go up. So the Earth heats the sun from below. Most of the sun's energy passes through the atmosphere and heats the ground first. And then it's the warm ground that heats up the air. So the higher you go, the colder you get. And this happens through conduction, the ground warming nearby air, and convection, warm air rising and mixing. Because of the heat source is the surface of the Earth, the air is warmest when it's closest to the ground. Number two, air pressure decreases as you go higher. So as you rise into the Earth's atmosphere, the air becomes thinner and the air pressure drops. And when air rises into low pressure, it expands, and expanding air loses heat energy. Stay with me, guys. But that's called adiabatic cooling. Another reason why the Icarus story doesn't work. And there's less heat trapped in thin air. So the higher up you go, there's fewer air molecules, so there's less ability to hold and transfer heat. And number four, how fast the temperature drops. So in the lowest layer of the atmosphere, the troposphere, the temperature typically drops about 6.5 degrees Celsius per kilometer. So that's about 3.5 Fahrenheit per 1,000 feet. I threw that conversion out like it was me, but again, this is our thing here. And that's called the environmental lapse rate. So it continues here, a fun connection to Icarus. In the myth of Icarus, he was warned not to fly too high, yeah, this is the point, because the sun would melt the wax on his wings. In reality, if someone flew upward without protection, the bigger problem would actually be cold temperatures and thin air, not the sun's heat. This is magic. Great, we're all there. We're all keeping up. So, tell me more, please. When does the atmosphere get hot again? Because it does get hotter. Obviously, the sun's hot. So yeah, this is the surprising twist about Earth's atmosphere. The temperature does not keep dropping forever as you go higher. So maybe, you know, maybe there is a little something in this story. And at a certain height, it actually starts increasing again. Okay, so this happens because the atmosphere has different layers, each behaving differently. So the first layer getting colder, and then that's the troposphere. And then in the stratosphere, it starts getting warm again. The reason is the ozone layer. Ozone absorbs high energy ultraviolet radiation, which heats the surrounding air. So in the stratosphere, higher altitude is warmer air. So it's the opposite of below. And then it flips again, the mesosphere, the miso soup, the temperature drops again. So this is where many meteors burn up. Imagine our boy Icarus right now. He's gone up, it's got cold, he's got hot, but now it's getting hot again. So maybe, you know, this is why we do the science, guys. So here, the strange result. If you graphed the temperature versus height, it would look like a zigzag. We might have to do it. Do we do the zigzag, lads? So it goes down in temperature troposphere, up to the stratosphere, down to the meso soup, and then up to the thermosphere. Thermosphere. So the atmosphere isn't a simple gradient. It's a stack of layers with different physics. One cool fact, the coldest natural temperatures on Earth actually occur high in the mesosphere, where it can reach about minus 90 degrees Celsius. Well, our boy's dead by that point, isn't he? So, okay, so if you're curious, there's an even stranger atmospheric fact. The edge of space is technically hotter than lava. Wow, but you would freeze there. You would still freeze. And the reason is pretty mind-bending. Okay, I think that's too much. Well, so it's hotter than lava and you would still fucking freeze. Is this wrong? Guys, scientists, all of the scientists listening, send me a message, please. I'm out of my depth. So, yeah, okay. So let's just put it simply to it. Can you please tell me how high would Icarus need to fly to get temperatures hot enough to melt the wax in his wings, or would he actually freeze first? Boom. Great question, it says. This lets us compare the myth with real atmospheric physics. So first, remember the wings in the story of Icarus were held together with wax, which melts roughly around 60 to 65 degrees Celsius, 140 to 150 Fahrenheit, depending on the type. Fucking hell, don't give me these caveats. But, yeah, would it ever get that hot by flying higher? In the lower atmosphere, the troposphere actually gets colder as you go up. We know this. So typical temperatures, height in the atmosphere, sea level is average 15 degrees C, 5 kilometers above minus 18, blah, 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 blah. So if Icarus climbed upward like an airplane, please, the temperature would drop far below freezing. So his wax wouldn't melt, it would harden. Okay. Would he freeze yet first? Almost certainly yes. Humans exposed to those conditions would face extreme cold, very thin air, low oxygen, and then by around 10 to 12 kilometers up, temperatures are nearly 55 degrees, and negative 55 degrees Celsius are common, and without protection, a person would quickly suffer hypoxia and severe cold exposure. So realistically, Icarus would freeze and suffocate long before the wax melted. What about higher layers? Above the troposphere, blah, blah, blah. So even then, even in the hotter layers that we talked about earlier, it's still far from wax melting levels. So, wow, okay, so the sun itself wouldn't melt the wax either. Being higher up doesn't make sunlight dramatically hotter. The sun's energy at Earth is limited by the solar constant. Wow, okay. So even at airplane altitude, direct sunlight might warm surfaces somewhat, but air temperature remains extremely cold. So realistic outcome. If Icarus actually flew upward with feather and wax wings, the physics suggests the air would rapidly become freezing cold, oxygen would become too thin, and his wings wouldn't melt. So the wing works as a symbolic warning, but not a physical, realistic one. This is too good, isn't it? I really like this. So, interesting twist. It's got a little wing emoji there. The ancient Greeks likely imagined the sky as getting hotter, brackets pricks, we've added that. They imagined it was getting hotter the closer you approach the sun, which seemed intuitive before people understood how the Earth's atmosphere actually transfers heat. So, yeah, that's a big stuff you to the ancient Greeks. If you'd like, I can also show you a surprisingly plausible real-world way wax wings would fail, and it has nothing to do with the sun. It's actually something engineers worried about. Oh, okay. But are we done? We're not done. How do we delve? So, okay, like let's go further in. Guys, we're in a little way. How far before it would melt the wax? Because obviously if he's like right next to the fucking sun, that's it. So, how can we type that? Ignoring death by freezing on the way or by lack of air, etc. How far above the Earth / close to the sun would Icarus need to go for the heat of the sun to melt his wings? Okay, so to melt wax using only the sun's heat, the key factor is distance from the sun. Here we go. So not the height above Earth. Climbing higher in the atmosphere barely changes that distance compared with the enormous Earth-Sun gap. So let's walk through it. Number one, how far Icarus would have to go above Earth. And this is ignoring freezing and no air and all that good stuff. So Earth orbits the sun at about 150 million kilometers. and even flying extremely high, let's say 100 kilometers up, past the Kármán line, it's got accents there, Kármán line, it only changes the distance to the sun by 100 kilometers out of 150 million kilometers. That's a change of about 0.00007%. In other words, going higher above Earth does essentially nothing to increase solar heating. So altitude alone could not melt his wax. How close to the sun he'd actually need to be, as wax melts at around 60 to 65 degrees, using simple radiative physics, how objects heat under sunlight, the sun intensity would need to be about 3 times stronger than what Earth receives. So because sunlight follows the inverse square law, that level of heating occurs when you were about 0.6 times Earth's distance from the sun. So you'd need to be about 90 million kilometers from the sun. So for comparison, Earth is 150 million kilometers from the sun. Venus is 108 million kilometers to the sun. So Icarus would have needed to be closer to the sun than Venus's orbit. You know when someone says, be careful about flying high, and then they ignore the fact you're going to freeze and stuff? Maybe our boy Daedalus was saying, don't fly approximately 90 million kilometers away from Earth's surface. Maybe. So yeah, translating that into height above Earth, to reach that distance starting from Earth, he would have had to have traveled about 60 million kilometers closer to the sun. And that is roughly 150,000 times higher than the edge of space, or about 160 trips to the moon in distance. So the answer is no realistic height above Earth would do it. And he would need to have traveled tens of millions of kilometers towards the sun. The ironic reality, in real physics, yeah, the air would get colder as he climbed and the sun's heating would stay almost the same. So the myth of Icarus only works if the ancient assumption was true that the sky gets hotter the closer you fly to the sun. Fun twist, ironically, wax objects on Earth's surface can reach melting temperature more easily than in the upper atmosphere. For example, inside a parked car or a dark ground in direct sunlight. If you like, I can also show you surprisingly realistic ways the wings might actually fail using real aerodynamics and materials and physics. It's much more believable than the sun melting them. Anyway, yeah, let's not question the assembly and stuff. That's another podcast for another fucking day. But all right, hold on, let's close this off because this is actually mental now. No thanks, mate. Thanks for your input. Chat again soon. Oh, how's that? You've hit the free plan limit. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, maybe I've flown too close to the sun with this fucking very odd series of questioning, which I think we had the answer to our question about 10 minutes ago. But, yeah, so what's the new lesson we learned? How do we actually, you know, twist his message sort of thing? Maybe don't get overconfident when writing your fables. Actually, there you go. And that looks like, so the original message still rings true, you know? Stay in your lane. Don't try and fly out of Crete on self-made wings. Doesn't matter how high you go, they won't melt, but don't fucking try it. The king's great, be a good Greek. These are all good messages. Don't interrupt your Taiwanese dentist. Don't fucking hell. It's all slotting into place, guys. And maybe because it's fucking late at night, these are normally sort of toilet research things. And now you've come with me into a little internet hole. So, yeah, anyway, so next time you hear someone say that, when someone says, oh, he flew too close to the sun or whatever, send them to this podcast and they will never talk to you again. So that's something you can do. And my God, yeah. Sorry for this one. This isn't going to be a lost tape, though. I think I'm just going to put it out. It is what it is. Yeah. Okay, so fair play if you've made it this far. And I'm assuming all that ChatGPT stuff was correct. If it's not, then I'm assuming it's close enough to correct to be semi-accurate. But yeah, what could your reward be? Yeah, next time you see a rainbow, have that one on me. I did a little click and a point there. I hope you heard it. But yeah, and if you've got any fables that need busting, this can be a new thing. So send me your little fables and sayings and we can have a deep dive. God, I really like AI. I know it's shit and it's fucking, it wastes water and whatnot, but hopefully they'll make that better. Like, how much better is that than Google? How would you even Google that? But now it's just fucking brilliant. It's almost like, well, yeah, I don't know. But that's a chat for another day. All the best, guys. I'll catch you at the next one. And sorry again. Spread the word. See you later. Yeah.